What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
A win for Pennsylvania election integrity, sticker shock in California for fast food restaurants, a warning for all of us back here on the East Coast. And Donald Trump, a $9,000 gag order fine. Will he be arrested? Will that be next? And will that help him and make him more of a martyr? Elvis was arrested, as you know. Here to talk about this and so many other things, my buddy Linda Kearns. She is a lawyer extraordinaire, and she's also fighting for election integrity in Pennsylvania. Hello, Linda Kearns. How are you?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, that was a great decision today for election integrity in Pennsylvania.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you, do you think Elvis getting arrested helped him become a legend or hurt him becoming a legend?
Well, speaking of Elvis, did you know that I sent Greg Stocker the glasses with the sideburns and he wore them on the show this morning?
Yes, because I listen in the morning. Still sleeping.
I think Elvis was so talented that he didn't need anything else. That's my Elvis opinion.
I just think if Trump gets arrested, he's going to be even more of a rock star. I mean, he'll join the ranks of Frank Sinatra, Elvis, David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Martin Luther King Jr.
These Democrats, they can't take their foot off the gas on that. It's ridiculous.
I know.
But I do think that they're propelling him, and voters are just realizing that you can't take advantage of people like that.
And Joe Biden was fake arrested several times. He always brags about how he was fake arrested. I mean, he wasn't, but he always tells people he was, because there's obviously a political benefit to that. But, you know.
I know you joke about it, but the more he makes up these stories, the more I get very, very, very worried for our country. There comes a point where it's not even funny anymore.
I know. But I have to try to find humor. I'll go insane, my friend. You know that.
Good news
out of Pennsylvania today, the Third Circuit. So first of all, set it up for us. What was at stake here and why does it matter?
Sure. The Pennsylvania Election Code has the words in it, fill out, date, and sign. I'm quoting that. It actually says that in the election code. And I didn't go to Harvard like Matt DeSantis. But when
I like you, because you're not an elitist jerk.
Exactly. Who complains about the dinner he served when he's picking up an award for you.
And the fact that he had to drive himself to Harrisburg, and we didn't get a driver for him.
It's a long drive.
Well, I think that's
a long 2 hours, Linda. I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's torture what this guy has to go through.
Yeah, that's that generation. Next thing you know, he'll be asking us to pay his student loans back. So the election code actually says fill out, date, and sign. And the word date means date. And if someone tells me to date something, I would write the month, date, and year. And I think that's what all reasonable people would do. Well, when we got mail ballots in Pennsylvania in 20 and 22, a lot of voters, unfortunately, did not actually date the ballots. And the Democrats sued because it was more Democrats than Republicans that were not dating the ballots. It went to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, who said because the law says that you must, quote, fill out, date, and sign, we are constrained basically to order that voters have to fill out, date, and sign. The Democrats weren't happy with that, so they ran to federal court out in the Western District of Pennsylvania, and they sued under the Civil Rights Act, saying that it violates your civil rights to ask you to date ballots. The trial judge out there in the federal court agreed with that premise and said, yes, it violates your civil rights. But the Third Circuit, which is the federal appellate court had common sense and said, no, this does not violate your civil rights to require you to date a ballot. Now, when that case first went to the appellate court, it was only a 3-judge panel, which is very, very common. So the Democrats were not happy about that. It was actually the NAACP and some other interest groups. And they asked the court to rehear it en banc, which means ask the entire, all of the judges on the court to hear it and basically reconsider it. And today they said, no, we're not reconsidering it. The order stands. So pursuant to that holding, that it is not a violation of federal law to ask you to date your ballot.
It's just amazing to me that they would say that if I did something wrong, that my civil rights were being deprived, if I didn't fill out the form properly, that somehow some external force was depriving me of my civil rights versus my own incompetence for not filling out a form correctly.
Right. And I'm telling you, Rich, it's going to be time pretty soon for these third parties and independents to get on the ballot, like RFK and the Jill Stein from the Green Party, and they're going to need a lot of signatures. And I will bet you that these Democrats and leftist groups will go into court and challenge the signatures that these people get and say that they were not dated correctly. So that all of a sudden they're going to require dating. So it's not going to be consistent across the board. I hear you, Rich, a lot saying Trump is going to win, McCormick is going to win, you're confident, and I appreciate the confidence, but we cannot let up. I need poll watchers. I'm an attorney for the RNC, and we need poll watchers. So I'm going to ask your listeners again to go to protectthevote.com. That's protectthevote.com. Sign up, give us your name, and we will give you a spot as a poll watcher or a poll worker because we need the help. So I'm asking your listeners to help. We did have a lot of people sign up for the primary, but not nearly enough.
ProtectTheVote.com. I agree. Election integrity, Linda Kearns, is essential. And I had Harmeet Dhillon on the show earlier today, and we talked about this. And she said, you know, we have to embrace mail-in balloting. It's not going away. And we have to ensure the integrity of this election. Drop boxes and all the other stuff, it's here to stay. We have to take advantage of the advantages that it offers us. And we have to ensure election integrity. And that's why ProtectTheVote.com, your site, is so important. So I do encourage people to please sign up for that. Desperately, poll watchers, it's essential. ProtectTheVote.com. I want to ask you this, Linda, and this is, you can comment on this or not comment on this, but my theory is that if you don't fill out a ballot properly, that makes you a moron. And as a moron, you're more likely to vote for Democrats, which is why the Democrats were concerned about losing the moron vote. Again, you can comment on that or not comment on that. It's up to you.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to let that comment stand, Rich.
I
got to be careful.
I would have filed an amicus brief, right? With that argument, that would have been my argument if I filed an amicus brief.
I know this doesn't say a lot for Pennsylvanians that they can't get it right. And we just had an election last week, as you know, and this time the Secretary of State redesigned the ballot so that you didn't have to write the whole year. You didn't have to write 2024. They put the 2 and the 0 and you only had to write in the 24. They thought that would be easier on voters. Well, unfortunately, a lot of voters still got it wrong and didn't fill it out. And to my surprise, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but last Friday, the Secretary of State's office sent out an email to all the county boards of elections and said that if there's a date that you could reasonably interpret to be accurate, then you should count it. So even if they don't include the year and you could still reasonably interpret it to be an accurate date, then you should count that ballot. And unfortunately, what's happening now is complete chaos. And again, Rich, we have counties. Some of them are counting them. Some of them aren't, because now we're going to argue over what the word date means. And maybe Matt DeSantis with his fancy education can weigh in on what it means to date something. But that's where we are now. There is going to be chaos again.
That's not good news, Linda Kearns. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a hunger strike to protest this, and I'm not going to have dinner tonight until 9 p.m.
How about, will you go off alcohol too?
It's not going to go crazy, Linda. It's Tuesday. I mean, I got to get through the day. It might be nuts. Well, what other election issues are still outstanding that need to be resolved by November? Is it just that one, or are there others too?
We have some problems in Pennsylvania. Some of our counties allow what's called curing, which means that if you get your ballot wrong, again, I don't know who's not following directions, and maybe this says something more about our educational system in Pennsylvania, but if you send your ballot in ahead of time and you somehow got it wrong, some counties are contacting you and giving you the right to correct it, and some counties aren't, which means that depending on where you live in Pennsylvania, your ballot is getting treated differently. And to me, that is a huge problem. That's an equal protection issue because we're not treating everyone the same. And what really irritates me is the Secretary of State's office and the Shapiro administration, they're constantly tweeting out about how fair our elections are and what a great job they're doing. And maybe if they would stop congratulating themselves and just sit back and say, how can we make this process even for everyone? How can we make sure that everyone is being treated the same and everyone's following the same rules? I mean, imagine if you went to an Eagles game and the football didn't go through the goalpost, and one ref said, well, they you can reasonably interpret it that it got close enough, maybe that should be a touchdown. And another ref says, no, I don't think so. I mean, imagine the chaos. That is what these election officials are doing, and it's not fair to us. It's not fair to the voters.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. ProtectTheVote.com. ProtectTheVote.com. Well, we'll take the good news today that the Third Circuit decision stands and the ballots have to be properly dated. That's the good news. We'll take the win. But we can't give up, so ProtectTheVote.com. I really do, Linda Kearns, believe this election is going to come down to Pennsylvania. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Whoever wins Pennsylvania, and I said this in 2016, and I was correct then, whoever wins Pennsylvania in 2024 will be the president of the United States of America. That's how crucial our election is.
I agree, but that means we need turnout. So everyone needs to talk to their friends, their nieces, their nephews, their kids, their brothers, their sisters, their aunts. Make sure everyone you know gets out to vote, because this election is going to be all about turnout too. And Republicans have to turn out. We can't listen to Rich Dilley say, oh, we got it in the bag, and then think we can stay home.
I didn't say we got it in the bag. Let's not go crazy here, all right? Linda Kearns. By the way, I know you're such an Elvis fan. Are you buying vinyl these days? Because that's all the rage now with the kids.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole bunch of Elvis on vinyl, and I play them on my record player. I shouldn't be saying this on the radio. I sound like a nut that I go to Graceland.
I love it.
I send Greg Stocker Elvis gifts. I'm starting to sound like a nut, and I need people to take me seriously. I'm an election law lawyer.
No, I think they will. I think they will. They'll understand your passion and your commitment to election integrity is just like your passion and integrity commitment to Elvis. So they'll get it. They got it. They got it.
Okay, good.
But I'll give you this analogy. The voting polling place is your Graceland come election day.
Exactly.
Boom.
Good. And I want every Pennsylvanian, every Republican out there, if you don't think you're going to make it on election day, then get a mail ballot in ahead of time, because we need turnout. And if you are available, please go to ProtectTheVote.com and give us your information, and we'll find a spot for you, because we need a lot of people.
Linda Kearns, thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Rich.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I have to get to a lot of other stuff before we close out. It's hard to believe it's already 6:16. I do want to remind you, Friday live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Please join us for our live show. And it will be a lot of fun. Live shows are always a lot of fun. And the big story of the hour is brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. This is fascinating to me. We had 4 years of Trump as president, and I think we can all agree he was probably the single most accessible person to the press in probably the history of the country. Much to his advisor's chagrin, sometimes Trump would talk to everybody. Everybody in the media, he would pick up the phone. He would talk to people. He would go to the Oval Office. He would sit around and chat with them. He talked to everybody. And yet we heard that he would start journalist internment camps. I remember my favorite was Jim Acosta from CNN, who would sit there time and again and talk about, you know, the First Amendment was going to be destroyed and journalists would start being locked up. That's when the Washington Post came up with their slogan, democracy dies in darkness. The fear that Trump would destroy journalism. And I joked about how when I went to the White House in 2019 to interview Trump, how I saw all the journalists in internment camps. I saw Jim Acosta writing his book from his cell right on the south lawn of the White House. And all the reporters jailed on Pebble Beach, as they call it, right outside the executive, West Executive Avenue. I said, you could see them all locked up. Never happened, of course. Trump talked to the press all the time. He came out and spoke at the White House podium. He gave press conferences and he gave a ton of interviews. Joe Biden, on the other hand, nobody knows where the guy is. He doesn't do press conferences. And when he does, all the questions are scripted. The answers are scripted. He knows who he's going to call on. His new thing now is he has a designated walker with him at all times. Matt DeSantis, you know how when the president's going to give the State of the Union address, they have someone is known as the designated survivor?
Yeah, that's the guy that's not allowed to attend.
Right. And one person from the president's cabinet who stays behind somewhere, they made a show about it. Kiefer Sutherland played the president in that designated survivor. It was pretty good. It's all right.
I never saw it.
Yeah, it was all right. That's
not worth going back
to. Other things to see. Oh. I've heard The Gentleman on Netflix is excellent. That's the next show I'm going to watch. Have you seen it yet?
Ripley.
No, I haven't.
No?
Ripley, I'm telling you.
Ripley?
Yeah.
All right.
It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
Ripley.
Yeah.
We just saw Leave the World Behind with Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke. I thought it was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was interesting how they referenced the Havana Syndrome, which we've talked about on the show before.
Mahershala Ali, great actor.
Great actor. And reminds me, if you have guns, you don't have enough. And get more bullets, too.
That is the moral of that story.
And canned goods. But I was thinking that... where was I going with it? Oh, yeah. So Joe Biden has a designated walker now, somebody who walks next to him. You'll notice this now. When he gets off Marine One, and he's walking back to the White House, because he's always on Marine One because he goes to Delaware every weekend. So that person walks next to the president to hide the way the president's walking. So the person's always going to be on the president's left side, which is the side that the press, the cameras would be on. And walks in pace with the president so you can't see his gait, as it's known, how he walks. And the designated walker, in addition to that, also acts as a buffer so the president can't hear any of the questions that are shouted at him. I'm not kidding. If you don't believe me, look at the videos that are posted. It's the designated walker. And the staff member changes and whoever it's going to be, that person, but they just have to walk side by side with the president to hide his gait and also to help him avoid questions. But nevertheless, despite the fact that Joe Biden does not do interviews, and when he does, they're scripted, like Sage Steele from ESPN told us. However, for 4 years, Trump didn't shut up when he came to the press, talked to them all the time. Nicole Wallace still believes that if Trump wins, she may not be sitting there, that somehow Trump will now shut down freedom of the press. He'll shut down the First Amendment. This administration and the Obama administration, don't forget, actually targeted journalists. This administration targeted journalists and is still to this day right now trying to put one in jail. Her name is Catherine Herridge for trying to protect her sources. Don't forget that. And the Obama administration and the Biden administration also went after journalists for the very same thing. In addition to that, let's not forget the fact that this administration also intimidated members of the press, like Matt Taibbi, when they showed up at his house with the IRS knocking on his door. And this administration has also now filed various complaints against Elon Musk for owning Twitter, using the FTC against him. They've gone after his car company, SpaceX, whatever it takes, just to harass the guy and needle the guy. But somehow Trump is going to shut down freedom of the press. So here's Nicole Wallace, cut number 9.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House correspondence dinner or a free press. And while our democracy wouldn't exactly fall apart immediately without it, the real threat looms larger. A candidate with outward disdain, not just for a free press, but for all of our freedoms and for the rule of law itself.
All of our freedoms and the rule of law itself, the rule of law that's being used against Donald Trump to try to put him in jail as opposed to letting him be on the campaign trail. But we're supposed to believe this from this administration. Here's an undecided woman voter, undecided women voters, savage Trump in her new CNN focus group. This is a group of North Carolina women who are undecided about the 2024 presidential election. Somehow they're undecided. Undecided voters. This is how CNN bills this as undecided. I want to ask you if you think these women that CNN found, these undecided voters in the swing state of North Carolina, the must-win state of North Carolina, are really undecided. You know, this reminds me of the time that a girl broke up with me in college and said, never call me ever again. I don't ever want to see you again. Never talk to me ever again. And I said, so you're saying there's a chance?
It sounds like she wants you back.
Right. Maybe she still likes me. I don't know.
According to CNN, at least.
Yeah right. I mean, cut number 10.
He completely sees himself as Teflon. Like, he does, nothing sticks to him. And I'm really nervous that he's starting to look like he's right.
One of these is going to have to take him down. I just can't see how you slither out of 90-plus charges.
How many of you believe that Trump should be on trial for this? Raise your hand.
All of them.
There is not only smoke, there is fire.
How many times can you say it's a witch hunt? I'm personally tired of hearing it.
So if he's misappropriating
undecided voters,
you know, election funds, then yeah, he needs to be prosecuted.
If we have one person who is above the law, then what is the purpose of the law? Your accountant wrote it down,
right?
Recorded it. You got witnesses who said you did it.
It's not about who he's paying. Yeah. What he's paying for.
That's the inequality even in this story, because the porn star, the
right.
Da, da, da.
Yeah. Right.
We're characterizing and castigating the women.
Right.
They were doing a job.
So prosecutors say that Trump has violated his gag order, attacking prosecutors, witnesses, jurors.
These are undecided
Does
voters.
Does any of this surprise you?
Right. This person has something more powerful than money. He has an audience. He has a rabid audience that is very willing to do whatever they want. So then, does even $1,000 per violation, or, you know, going to jail for any period of time, is that enough given his influence?
He's going to have to go to solitary because Secret Service cannot
protect
him in general population.
I don't care. Put him under the jail. Put him in solitary. We do not shrink from putting other inmates in solitary confinement.
Right.
Let's put him there and shut up. He can talk to the walls. He can talk to the rats. I don't care.
I think these are undecided. I'm not quite sure. I do think maybe they're toss-up voters. No question about it. It's hard. Toss-up. CNN, well done, finding that group of very on the fence. So I don't know. Maybe they'll go Trump. Hard to say. He can have rats gnawing his toes in jail. But you know, maybe we'll vote for him. Haven't decided yet. By the way, the Alvin Bragg case has gotten more ridiculous. And there's another question here that was posed by Rich Lowry of National Review. Do you remember when Bill Clinton stole the 1992 election? I'll share that with you upon my return. 855-839-1210. Coming right back.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Friday, Cape May, New Jersey. Join us at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Don't forget, Trump's coming to Wildwood on May 11th, and you should get your tickets to go see him on the beach by going to DonaldJTrump.com. DonaldJTrump.com is where you go. This North Penn School District story has become a very, very contentious story in our area, And I want to share with you a news report on it. But first, let me get Paul is in Bedminster. Actually, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not even talking about Israel right now. So call back another time. North Penn School District addresses concerns. The seventh grader was attacked with a Stanley Cup. So here is a report from Brianna Gallagher. And officials with the North Penn School District addressed some concerns after the attacks. So it was left a seventh grader injured. The student was beaten with a Stanley Cup on April 17th inside Pembroke Middle School cafeteria. The student who beat the other student is transgender. And I don't know, hormones involved, testosterone. I don't know any of those things. I think there's a lot of questions around this. And the other problem with the story, too, is that parents had said that they knew this child was potentially violent and that it went on for so long, and that also that the school knew about this and didn't do anything to protect the other students, which, you know, a friend of mine who's in education said this is becoming more of a problem, having to deal with students who they know are discipline problems, kids who are violent and out of control, and they get passed around from school to school, sometimes even within the same district. And public schools don't know how to deal with this necessarily. And then, of course, the gender affirmation nonsense, you know, whether or not the kid's getting testosterone. And I mean, look, and I don't know, but I'm just saying, when I take steroids for a cold or something like that, I have roid rages. I had a roid rage not too long ago. It happens. I mean, this is a thing, you know, kids who are on puberty blockers or kids who get hormone replacement therapy. And this is something we've talked about on the show a billion times. The side effects of that, we don't know how much damage we're doing to these kids. And again, I don't know specifically about this student, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these are the kind of questions that I would have as a parent in the district. No doubt about it. And Delaware Valley Journal reported that a number of parents protested because the victim was 12 years old and had to be taken to the hospital for treatment. And parents are very upset by this. So this is the news report from 6ABC. Cut 15.
Officials opened the meeting with a list of bullet points they'd be addressing after complaints from parents. The discipline process and procedures was first on the list. They say when a student is excluded for more than 3 days of school, they have the right to an informal hearing, which hasn't happened yet.
Decisions about long-term discipline, for example, cannot be made without that informal hearing occurring.
Then it came time to address the duration of the attack.
Both students involved were restrained and broken up in under 6 seconds.
However, in those 6 seconds, a seventh grade student was violently beaten with a Stanley Cup at Pembroke Middle School. At a meeting 2 weeks ago, a student told everyone what she witnessed.
We had to sit in there and watch them clean up her blood off those tables and ground. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face, and I will never forget.
Parents also had concerns regarding the letter they received about the attack. Officials say they have a template letter to get out to parents sooner rather than later. Parents felt they should have been more upfront.
We provide as much information as we can without having all the facts.
Lastly, the duration of how long kids were told to stay in place was addressed.
The answer at that time was 8 minutes. We have since gone back and reviewed videotape, radio transmissions from walkie-talkies.
The issue was, did students in the cafeteria hear the announcement? Now that's being looked into.
So there was a significant discrepancy there that was pointed out that evening that we have been able to piece together the timeline.
Their next in-person meeting is scheduled for May 14th.
Now, according to the Delaware Valley Journal, initial media accounts, and certainly that one you just heard, ignored that the attacker, who's 13, is a biological male who identifies and dresses as a girl. So, you know, I was saying how things like hormone replacement therapy, as they call it, therapy, testosterone, steroids, all these things can have effects on kids. What about the effect that a biological male can have on a 12-year-old girl? So this is part of the nonsense that we're dealing with in our schools. And parents have a right to be outraged by this. And the media wants to pretend like this is not an issue around gender affirmation, and it certainly is. It's part of the story. You can't just ignore that. And there were warnings, and the district failed to prevent the attacker from striking the 12-year-old victim in the head repeatedly with a Stanley Tumbler. I said Stanley Cup, but Stanley Tumbler. The victim was taken to the hospital, received staples to close her head wounds, and is now recovering at home. Linda Stein wrote this for Delaware Valley Journal. And the media is silent on that part of the story. They don't want that to be the story. Now, if it was reversed, obviously, if a transgender student had been attacked and hit in the head, well, the nationwide, it would be a hate crime. Everybody would hear about it. We'd have the National Press Corps fly in, and it would be all over Trump's America, even though he's not president. The hatred of trans students, and there'd be flags flying everywhere. But since the attacker was transgender and a biological male, biological boy, beating a girl over the head, that would get murky. That would kind of make it doesn't go with the narrative. So we're just going to pretend like that is not part of the story. That's basically how most of the Philadelphia media has reacted to it. Pretending like that part of the story is not relevant. But I can guarantee you, if it was reversed, if a 13-year-old had smashed a 12-year-old transgender student in the head, that person would be on Good Morning America. And every morning show, and obviously. And the question that I have, of course, is what this child who is identifying as transgender, are there other issues going on here? Because I've said, even though society does not allow you to ask this question, I'll ask this question because I don't care. Is this a mental illness issue with children believing that they are in the wrong gender? In my opinion, it absolutely is. And so when you have mental issues going on, are there other issues too? Depression, anxiety, anger, all these factors around. And so since we don't address that, because we say wear a dress instead of actually addressing the underlying mental health concerns, and if you don't address the underlying mental health concerns of children, they could get very violent. And I think that's problematic. I think everybody with common sense would understand that that's problematic. But you're not allowed to have these conversations in polite society because the left wants you to believe that this is perfectly normal for children to do, perfectly normal to identify and to be wrong sex assigned at birth or whatever it is. And there's nothing else going on here. It's not mental illness. It's not drug use. It's not someone doing it for attention. It's just that is normal and that's the way it is. And all you can do is affirm this through whatever means necessary. And if that includes drugs and hormones and I don't know. I mean, if the boy was taking estrogen or not, I have no idea. Puberty blockers, I have no idea. But I imagine that all those things have side effects. And even if not, I would imagine that the underlying mental illness that makes this boy believe he's a girl is not being fully addressed because we're told, well, if he just comes to school and wears a dress, everything's going to be fine. So we pretend. And this is happening more and more. You're hearing more and more stories about this because we won't address the underlying mental health concerns. And that's not fair to the kids. It's not fair to a 13-year-old boy that we engage in this fantasy. It's not fair to him. I mean, he probably needs help. Probably needs serious help. And he's not going to get it because society says you just have to embrace it, cheer it on, and then give her whatever she needs, even though she's not a she. And if that means some sort of a drug, if that means a procedure, whatever it is, don't question it. Don't ask questions. It's very wrong. Really is. It's very wrong and very unfair to our kids. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We have some more things to get to, including the single most awkward moment possibly in TV history. Drew Barrymore and Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm warning you, this is painful. I'm actually encouraging you to turn off the show. It's that bad. It's that bad. Don't listen to the radio. That's how bad this is. I'm telling you to turn off my own show.
Now, to be clear, don't turn off the radio. Just crank the volume down for a little bit. We still want ratings.
It's painful. Real? Am I not exaggerating this, am I?
No, it's awful. I actually almost feel bad for Kamala in this clip.
You can't feel bad for Kamala.
No, you can. It's so awkward. It's so, so awkward.
Speaking of mental illness, Drew Barrymore and Kamala Harris. Straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
But that means we're one day closer to Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for our live show this coming Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a blast. Well, we thought Howard Stern really kissed Joe Biden's rear end, because he did in that interview, which was pathetic. Woke Howard Stern, a shell of what he used to be, a mockery. He would mock himself. He would mock the Howard Stern that we grew up with would mock this woke Howard Stern and that gushing interview of Joe Biden when he said, you are America's grandfather. Some nonsense. Remember Stern said that something to Biden, the equivalent of that. But as bad as that was, as gross as that was, because particularly it was Howard Stern, and this is a guy who used to be the rebel and edgy. Drew Barrymore, who's just a flat-out whack job. Kamala Harris, I mean, this is awkward. The gushing from this, I'm telling you right now, I apologize in advance. I warned you to turn the radio off. If you're still listening to the show, this is on you, not me. Gave you full warning.
Don't turn it off, to be clear. Turn the volume down for a little bit.
This is just awkward. Awkward, awkward, awkward. And I like Drew Barrymore in, what was that movie she did with Adam Sandler? 50 First Dates, I think it was.
Yeah.
But she's crazy.
There's something wrong with it. I mean, I'm not super familiar with her, but after watching 90 seconds of this
child
exchange.
Star.
Yeah,
she's off. Yeah, she's been nuts since she's been a kid. And now she has the Drew Barrymore show, which I guess is on daytime television. I don't know. It's a hotbed of crazy.
Yeah, it'll be on here sometimes when I come in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's in the middle of the afternoon?
Yeah.
Just brainwashing Americans in dentist offices everywhere except Dr. Mike Venerius? All right. Without further ado, cut 14.
We all need a mom. I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Stop it. Stop it. She just said to Kamala Harris, we need you to be the Mamala of the country. I can't take any more of that. I'm sorry. That's all I can do. That's all I can handle.
The worst part of it was she was totally serious. She's on the verge of tears in this clip.
She's like holding her hands and clutching her. When she sang this.
She's a great actress.
Again, Kamala's trying to get away from her. She actually starts each round of applause, if you watch the video closely. It's because she's trying to break away from Drew Barrymore's grasp. They're sitting on a giant couch, and yet Drew has, like, I mean, they're on top of each other.
She does that for all her guests, though.
It's uncomfortable, even to watch.
The Mamala of the country? The Mamala. Just want to make sure everybody heard that. You got that? The Mamala. Okay. All right. Keep going.
I mean, yeah. No, I know.
And as a woman who respects so much and wants to share and wants to be confident and has no ounce of meat that has competitiveness.
Yeah.
When we lift each other up, we all rise.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. How's your meds? Have you checked your meds? Are they balanced? The docs doing their thing?
Right. However, we need a great protector.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, part
you need
of
a straitjacket, woman, is what you need. You need the friggin' men in white coats to come and take you away, is what you need.
Speaking of protector, I think the Secret Service needs to protect Kamala from Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, they should. You know, they always like, gun, and they rush in and say, nut job! And they just rush in, clutching onto her. Is there more of that?
There's Kamala's response.
All right.
Well, you know, part of it is I think that, sadly, over the last many years, there's been this kind of perverse approach to what strength looks like, which is to suggest that the measure of one's strength is based on who you beat down. Instead of
the audience,
what
is
we
like,
know,
wait, do I clap? Is that, do I clap at that wisdom, or
who you lift up?
Do I? Right? Yeah. Okay. They need the applause sign. Like, oh, jumped in too early. All right, that's the show. Enjoy the rest of your night. The Great One, Mark Levin, is up next. Back with you tomorrow and live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, this coming Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Keep the conversation going on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.